Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
All right, let's get things going here at 9:40. Time for the Weekend Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Delner Hospital, joining us. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Very well. Sad news this week in the death of actor James Vanderbeek of Dawson's Creek fame, Varsity Blues, so many great movies and TV shows, dying at only 48 years old of colorectal cancer, a fight that he has been in for the past couple of years. I mean, this really emphasizes the need for colonoscopy, correct?
It absolutely does. And I know that many people don't realize this, but a few years ago, we went from recommending screening at the age of 50 to the age of 45, especially as we've been seeing more and more people at younger ages have colon cancer.
Yeah, that's something that I've been reading since the death. There have been quite a few articles and things about colorectal cancer. And as you've been saying, an alarming rate of younger people under 50 years old who are developing symptoms. I should mention actor Chadwick Boseman of Black Panther fame and so many other fantastic movies, only 43 years old when he was diagnosed with colorectal cancer and died a little bit young. Do we have any idea why this seems to be affecting people of younger ages?
I don't think we have an exact answer, but we do think that there's a fair amount that's going on. Some of it is genetic. We do know that people who have colorectal cancer in their families are more likely to have it. So we actually recommend that they get screening earlier. There are certain bowel diseases that also cause it. But there also is some concern that it has to do with our diets, that people that are eating very red meat heavy diets, very processed heavy or very processed food heavy diets also are at higher risk for colorectal cancer. And then anyone who drinks heavily or smokes heavily also increases their risk.
Does it have anything to do with the amount of roughage, with the amount of vegetables that you would think would be beneficial in a fight against colorectal cancer?
You know, it's hard to say. I do think that since we know that having over-processed foods and too much heavy certain types of meats can increase the risk. And yes, it makes sense that the opposite could be true, that by having more fruits and vegetables, having good fiber, having things move through can be helpful. And so always helpful to eat as many fresh things as possible. And this is one of those benefits.
Yeah. Fruit, vegetables, whole grains, right? I mean, those are the things that should be included. And you're not saying no meat, but you're saying maybe less of it and certainly less processed and refined foods.
Exactly. I will never say none, but definitely thinking about moderation and trying to have balance is generally the key for prevention of a lot of things.
Okay. So let's talk about symptoms. This was a two-year fight for James Vanderbeek, something that he noticed early on, went and got checked, and it was the worst result possible. But what should people be looking for? And we're going to talk about this, not in overly gross terms, but we're going to be, you know, talking about this in a direct way. So if you're offended, you may want to, you know, step away for a second. What are the symptoms of colorectal cancer?
And I really appreciate you said that, because many people don't like talking about their bowel habits, and we need you to when you come to the doctor, because those are the symptoms we're looking for. Often an alarming one is blood in your stool. That is one we always want you to get checked out. And then just changes to it. Sometimes it's that your stool becomes very thin. Sometimes it's that your stool is very loose and you have diarrhea that's not stopping. But anything that's really a persistent change in your bowel habits that is not intentional, it's not because you're increasing your fiber, for example, that goes on for more than a week, is definitely worth getting checked out. other general things that are risks. If you lose weight without knowing why, if you become anemic and we don't have a source for that, if we don't see a reason for bleeding, those are also sometimes symptoms and reasons why we would want to get a colonoscopy, even if you're not due for that screening colonoscopy.
Yeah, and I had always heard that, and again, you know, Frank talked about this, blood in a stool or the changing of the color of the stool, right, mm-hmm. could also be a sign, correct?
Absolutely. The blood is probably the most common reason why I send someone to get further testing. And sometimes it can be something that's not cancer, but it's always better to be sure that we know what's going on.
So, you know, people are so scared of colonoscopies. You know, it's not something I look forward to when I've had them, but it's not that bad, really. You know, it's the preparation, which is tedious, but it's not painful. It's not, you know, you have to change your diet for a half a day and you clean yourself out a little bit. It's not the end of the world. And the procedure itself is not painful at all.
And the great thing about this procedure, the reason why it's the one that's the most recommended is because as you have this procedure, they're able to see if there's anything. They're really looking for pre-cancer. They're hoping to find anything before they get there. And if the gastroenterologists see anything, they can actually take it out at that time. So it's not only screening for it, but it's the first step of treatment as well for prevention. And so it's really looking at this as a two-in-one.
So what do they do when they find things? What's happening during the procedure itself?
So what will usually happen is they will take what we call a biopsy. So they will take what they're usually looking for is something called a polyp. It's like a little growth on in the inside of your colon, and they will take that out, and they'll make sure that there's no bleeding from that. They're also just looking for any other causes of bleeding. So maybe it's hemorrhoids, maybe it's just some sort of inflammation, and they'll be able to see if there's anything that they're concerned about. And if they do take those biopsies, then they send them off to the pathologist who are able to see, is this a precancerous lesion, is this a cancerous lesion, or is this something that was nothing to worry about? And so they're really just able to have a good understanding of whether you need further treatment or not. And then based on that, make a recommendation of when you might need another colonoscopy.
Right. And during that procedure, I mean, if there are things that are irregular, I don't know if cauterization is exactly the exact term to use, but they fix things along the way that they see still, you know, and taking testing of things.
Right.
But just for routine procedures, they fix things along the way as long as they're in there, I guess, right?
Exactly. And so that's where they take those polyps out that could be causing bleeding or could be causing trouble. And then the cautery is right. They make sure that there's no bleeding that's coming from it. It stops any of that. And usually that's what they do. That's what they see.
Yeah. So if they do find a cancer, is surgery the only solution to that?
You know, it really depends on what stage it is when they find it. Sometimes it's surgery. Sometimes there's radiation or chemotherapy. It really depends on if there's a cancer, if it has moved to another part of your body, if it's metastasized. And it depends on also if there is a cancer, how large it is, whether they're able to take it out or not.
Is it,
so it just depends.
Yeah, is it usually curable, or what are the percentages if they should find something?
Again, it really depends on how early. So sometimes they find something that is a cancerous lesion, and they're able to take the whole thing out, and you're done. You don't need anything else, and so that right there is them curing it, and you might have an early review again to make sure nothing's come back, but that's really the best case scenario when they find a cancer. Sometimes it's a little bit further along than that, and people can have good outcomes if they're finding it early. If it's metastasized, the outcomes are not quite as great. And so It's hard to give a percentage because it really depends on how long the symptoms have been going on, how far it's been there.
The stage at which it's found, mm-hmm. which speaks to exactly. the early detection on this of getting the colonoscopy and, you know, getting it checked. So if there is something there that you find it early and that can be treated more easily, is colorectal cancer hereditary?
Yes, it can be. There are some people that have a genetic predisposition for it. Sometimes it's because of certain diseases like inflammatory bowel disease, they're more likely to have it. There's some people that have genetic diseases that are lots of polyps in their colon, and so they are at higher risk for colon cancer. And if someone in your family has colon cancer, then we generally recommend that you get screening 10 years before whatever age they were diagnosed. And so I said earlier that we recommend screening at 45, but if there's someone who was diagnosed at 45 in your family, then we recommend that you get screening at about 35. So that we're making sure we find it before it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's the early detection is, you know, with all cancers, but you know, this is all about finding it early. And mm-hmm. you know, people are like, "Ooh, I don't want a colonoscopy." It's not that bad. It's a slight inconvenience, and believe me, you'll never have a better sleep than when they doze you out or whatever they call it, hazing you or. Get it checked. All right. So thank you for tolerating our very frank talk about this. But I think the doctor and I both agree that it's pretty important. Let me take a quick break. When I come back, I want to ask you about the measles outbreak. It seems like it's getting worse. We'll continue in a moment. Dr. Santina Wheat is with us. Dr. Santina Wheat. McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital with us this morning. Recent outbreaks of measles have been very alarming over the last year or so. The fastest growing outbreak I've read is in South Carolina. They now have the largest in the U.S. since measles were declared eliminated more than 2 years ago. Last year was a record-breaking year. 2026 is on its way to looking like it could be as well. Doctor, what's the latest in the measles outbreak?
You know, it is just what you said. South Carolina is where we are seeing the most of this, and it doesn't look like it's slowing down, unfortunately, anytime soon. And measles is something that many of us had hoped to not ever see because we have vaccines for it. So many families don't know what the measles look like necessarily. They don't know what to expect. They're not scared of this disease. But unfortunately, this is a disease that can really have some serious complications. It can cause hearing loss. It can cause very bad pneumonias and even death, unfortunately. And so this is a time where we have to be really cautious for our children.
Yeah, we've said this before, but let's repeat. What are symptoms that you might have been exposed to measles?
So the problem with measles is it starts off just like any other cold. It really looks like runny nose, sneezing potentially to begin with, as you think of as a typical cold. Usually within 4 to 5 days, though, you start having a fairly characteristic rash that can cover the entire body, and the eyes get fairly red as well. And that is a sign that you definitely want to isolate in your home and contact the public health department so that we can get testing.
Yeah, get to your doctor right away. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Hope you have a great Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you very much.
Thanks. You too. Have a great week.